It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here and Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from Phoenix, Arizona's Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com studios here in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, we are going to extend our conversation with Sheriff Richard Mack. He'll be back on here in just a little bit. And the one thing that we want to make sure that you understand is that there has been a battle for your mind. I mean, you know, first it's easy to conquer. Now, that's one thing that the Romans learned. You know, conquer is easy. Control is not. Now, you got to have control. You got to do it systematically. You got to break down the defenses. You got to make sure that you are infiltrated into whatever institutions there are that make up our society. And one of those institutions is the county sheriff. The county, that's why some states you have so many counties. When I was a kid, I lived in Florida. They have 67 counties. There's a whole bunch. Arizona has, you know, some of the largest. Maricopa County is one of the, I think, the largest jurisdiction in geography than any other county. You know, it's enormous. So,
okay, I'm back.
There you go. Thanks, Sheriff. Okay. Now, the one thing that I wanted to make sure that people understood is that this encroachment from a central plan economically and socially engineering the peoples, you know, coming from Lord knows where, one of the interfaces that they have is this sheriff thing is a threat. Now, but it's not
totally
a threat if it's on their side. So
yeah.
The multi-jurisdictional, tell me how that came about. What was the mechanism?
You know, I don't remember exactly how they did it, but I know the federal government was contacting us and saying, oh, we've got all these problems we need to work on. And then ultimately, that really alarmed me is that pamphlet was in Sheriff Arpaio's lobby and the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. And that really surprised me. And it is something that I never cooperated with. When the Customs and Border Patrol came to my county and in my office and asked me if I would deputize them, I said, what on earth for? Stay at your border and work your problems there. So, well, if we ever chase anybody over here, we need to have the power to stop them for traffic violations so we can get to them. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And so I didn't participate in this multi-jurisdictional task force that they've been trying to get going on places.
You know, let me give you a good example. It happened here in Phoenix. A gentleman,
yeah.
You know Steve Porak. Remember Steve?
No.
Steve, he was a gentleman you probably recognize if you saw me. He's a fan of yours. Make sure he goes to a lot of your events. And he's a gentleman. He is a contractor that builds churches up here in Phoenix. And he was very adamant about making sure I knew something. There were some people close to him that he knew that were City of Phoenix police officers. They had the federal government come in and make them deputize them as federal marshals. Now it's going the other way, too, where you have local sheriffs deputizing, you know, federal agents to have kind of jurisdiction there. Now they're kind of going the other way. Okay, well, this is the incentive. We'll cross-endorse kind of deal and then give them an M-16 and put them at the Sky Harbor Airport.
Or we'll give you a new helicopter or something, whatever.
Exactly. So this has been, you know, I apologize, it's such a short segment here, but we're coming back into a long one. When we come back, you know, I want to hear a lot more of how the federal government is focused on going into the sheriff's department. Well, we have a former sheriff, Richard Mack, here to tell us all about it. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Hello, good morning. We're back on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from Phoenix, Arizona, RBN Network, at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Monday through Friday. And we have Sheriff Richard Mack from Graham County, southeastern Arizona. We've known each other since, it's been like 15 years, Sheriff. We've been fighting the fight, and our paths cross quite a bit, and we do a lot of activism together and everything. And I tell you, when you need to have someone that understands what we're up against. You're a sheriff. You were inside, behind the scenes, undercover drug, agent, and you become sheriff. You're in law enforcement, of course, before you were sheriff. Then you have your experiences with the federal government challenging them on constitutional violations of our Second Amendment and the state's unfunded mandate thing. Then you have books that you've written. You've toured the country. You come to the attention of a lot of people, and now you're in with LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, from a first-hand knowledge of how evil this drug war is against our individual liberties. You have the power detailed in your new book that's going to the sheriffs to say, look, as the police state descends around the people that you are sworn to protect, somebody's going to have to stand up against the big bad guys. And who's that going to be?
Right, and the question really is posed in the book. When all this happens, when tyranny is surrounding the people of your county or of our country, who can they turn to for protection? Who is going to stand on the side of the people? When all this happens, whose side will your sheriff be on, the federal government or the people who hired him and elected him? And let me tell you this, this book is absolutely irrefutable evidence that the President of the United States cannot, has not the authority or jurisdiction to tell your sheriff what to do. Nor are there any auxiliary departments or bureaucracies underneath the president who can tell the sheriff what to do. He is, and again, this is irrefutable evidence in the book, he is the ultimate authority and power in his county to protect, defend, and ultimately be the last line of defense for the citizens in his county. And this is it. And he has to make that decision. Whether he actually says he will or won't, he's going to make that decision one way or the other. For any sheriff to pretend that when he takes an oath of office that says, I will, I solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully uphold and defend, protect and obey the United States Constitution, and then when really pressed, when the federal wolves come in, and there's only two kinds of wolves. There's the federal wolves and there's the street wolves. His job is to protect his citizens from the wolves, and it really doesn't matter where they come from. So he promises that he will uphold and defend the United States Constitution to every one of the people in his county. And then when really pressed, when the tyrants and the wolves come in from Washington, D.C., he wants to make some sort of an excuse that it's not his job to uphold and defend the United States Constitution. I'm sorry, Ernie. I cannot live with that disconnect. That disconnect is as huge as the Grand Canyon itself. I will not accept that. I cannot live with that. And I don't know how any sheriff could look himself in the mirror and say, yes, this is what I'm supposed to do. I am not supposed to defend my citizens from tyranny. That is just absolutely so absurd and contrary to every American ideal that we have ever espoused in this country that I can't stand it. And that is actually the reason I wrote the book.
You know, the thing is, though, is that, you know, like any elected official politician, it's so you're probably more insulated from it being in a rural area than a lot of certainly urban areas. These guys are selected not because of their leadership and their ability to defend against the evil empire of. They're selected because they're willing participants. So, I mean, you know, it's up to the people to make sure. I mean, you've met a lot of these sheriffs. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, I do. And that's one of the sad things that brought me to the conclusion of writing the book, because I want those sheriffs to read the book. I believe that a lot of those sheriffs are good people. And I believe that when you put the right information in front of the right people, that they'll do the right thing. However, I'm not blowing smoke here. I still know about history. I still understand the trends and the numbers. And I believe it's going to work out pretty much the same now as it did during 1776 and the Revolutionary War. I'm reading the book and biography of John Adams, and John Adams made it very clear that a third of the people supported the Revolution. A third of the people couldn't care less. They were completely apathetic to it. Just leave me alone, and you guys want to go fight in the trees against the redcoats, fine. But we're not going to, because we're busy here making our little silver goblets and drinking our tea from England. And then there was a third who were completely loyalist, another nickname was Tories, for the government. They completely loved King George III. Tax us more, government good, revolution bad. And we love King George III. We hate Washington and Adams. And there were all those people there. Okay, that's going to be the same today. So we need to understand we're not going to get, there's over a little over 3,000 sheriffs in this country. We're not going to get all the sheriffs. Some of them are political hacks, just as you know. Others, especially the small-town sheriffs. It was small-town sheriffs who sued the federal government and stopped the Brady Bill. And there were actually 5 Brady Bills, and we stopped Brady Bills 2, 3, 4, and 5. And literally, some small-town sheriffs, 2 of them, Prince and Mack, yours truly, we stopped in 2, 3, 4, and 5 with our lawsuit. They never... Brady Bill 2 was introduced by Senator Moynihan, who Hillary Clinton took his place after he passed away. 3, 4, and 5 never even reached committee because of our lawsuit. And 2 failed because of our lawsuit. We literally changed history. 2 small-town sheriffs teaching and showing that the role of the sheriff is to protect and defend the United States Constitution. There is nothing that your sheriff can do that's more important than that.
I am very appreciative, and we were very supportive when this was going on, and we understood the importance of it. And you have new fans. Think about it. It's 15 years later, and there are young people from here, from the revolutionaries from Phoenix here and our workshop, that went to Los Angeles just to spend time with you, to see you speak and to videotape and interview you and talk to you. I mean, for somebody to be motivated to take their entire weekend just to go see you in Los Angeles, I'm thinking, the next generation is going, yee-haw. You know, thank you. So you have that appreciation. So tell us about it. Did you get to meet any of the guys from Arizona that came out there?
Oh, yeah. The camera guy came up and talked to me first thing and asked me about the filming. I think he filmed me before. I think he filmed me at the June 13th Arizona Republican
Republican Assembly. Yeah, Drew Phillips. He's our videographer, Drew. And big fan.
He does a good job. I mean, he really does a good job. But I agree. I think who I'm hearing from are definitely the younger generation here. I got an email from a guy this morning that was saying just what you were saying earlier, and he said somebody else got your book, and he's a friend of mine, and he says I've got another question. I have another question for you. Someone who ordered your book started a thread on the forums, wondering why you would have an endorsement from Sheriff Arpaio. And to be honest, I wondered the same thing because it doesn't really look like that sheriff supports freedom and liberty. And so your entire show started on that issue. And so there's other people that have asked me, and these are younger guys, and these are people part of the Campaign for Liberty and Ron Paul groups. And they're really looking at the truth here. And I invite these questions. And again, I'll reiterate, I asked Sheriff Arpaio to endorse this book, and the principles that he endorsed on the back of the book are things he does believe in, that he and I believe in mutually. If he were to read the book, he might ask me to remove him from the endorsement. I don't think he would do that just because we're good friends, He would say, well, I don't agree totally with your entire book. He might say that, which is fine.
He doesn't care. It has his picture on it.
But, yeah.
I mean, you know, come on, Richard. You know Joe.
But I will reiterate, I used Joe because he's a friend and because he's good advertising. And I don't really know if he's sold me a lot of books because his picture's on the back of it or not. But the main thing I want to do with the book is to get it out there. And so far we've sold, in about 5 months' time, we've sold about 11,500 books. And really within the next 4 or 5 months, we expect that to be 10 times more.
Well, with 3,000 sheriffs, that's three times the number of sheriffs. And you know people reading it, that's the first place they want to go. I'll bet you that there are sheriffs that have multiple copies sent to them of that book. And after they get their fourth, fifth, sixteenth copy, they might go, damn, man, I am very encouraged by these town hall meetings where you have these congressmen coming back to their constituents, and they're like, oh, heck no. Are you sure you want to, you know, run this gauntlet? Because they are getting hammered and on health care, on the Federal Reserve, on all this. See, that's one thing that people didn't understand. When we did this revolution thing, we knew what was going to happen. It was not just Ron Paul's run for president. That was just a big, that was just a starting gun. You know, this has been, and you have found, I'm sure, a lot of support for what you've been doing has been coming from this Ron Paul wing of this Campaign for Liberty kind of thing. You know, and I know when we come back, we're going to hear a lot about the interface with the revolution and Sheriff Richard Mack in just a little bit here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Sheriff Richard Mack. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Welcome. Each and every day, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're on air with Sheriff Richard Mack. Now, you need to know who Sheriff Richard Mack is. I'm telling you, he's the man. Here you have a local rural sheriff in southeastern Arizona, constitutionalist, just kind of, hey, man, I took my oath seriously. And all of a sudden, you got the federal government telling him what's what and how he's going to infringe on the rights of his constituents, and he said no. And once you say no to the man, you know, one, a couple things happens. You know, you kind of you got this trend of no's, because once you say no, where does it stop? It's all the same thing, them trying to socially or economically engineer you. And then do you cave and you go, oh, okay, I'm not a no sayer anymore, or you're targeted, you just wind up dead. Now, because if you don't have the shiny badge, you're a sheriff, I'm telling you, you say no like that enough, you wind up dead. That's what happens. So fortunately, we have someone with a badge that had the guts and the knowledge and the ability and the fortitude to say no. Now, once you start down that road, Sheriff, you know, where does it stop? I mean, pretty soon you're going to be up on what? You're going to be a Minuteman on the front line, or are you trying to avoid that?
Well, I would like to avoid that for everybody. And That's why if the sheriffs stand up, we can make sure we avoid that. If the sheriffs in this country will understand that the fate of freedom of our nation no longer lies in the hands of Washington, D.C. corrupt politicians, but it lies in the citizens and the sheriffs at the local level, the answer is in our own backyards. It's the sheriff saying no, just as you alluded to. It's the sheriff saying, federal government, you have gone too far, and I'm not going to allow this anymore. How about this? Every sheriff knows that we are not allowed constitutionally to conduct random audits. I cannot go into my community and say, you know what? Every month now we're going to pick 20 homes at random and do a child abuse audit. We're going to make sure that no one is abusing their children. We're going in there. We're going to check children. We're going to interview children. We're going to make sure there's no bruises or marks on them. We're going to make sure they're not being spanked. We're going to make sure the homes are properly maintained. proper hygiene and everything else, and we're just going to do that. And why? Because it's for the children.
You mean like they're doing in England right now?
Oh, yeah. And that was a theme for Clinton. Anything for the children. Violate the Constitution all you damn well please, as long as it's for the children.
The children. You know, they have it in Great Britain right now. They call them sin jails. You know, you have families, if they're not taking care of their kids up to state standards or whatever, they take the whole family and they just put them in confinement. You know, I'm just going, wow, this mentality.
Well, but why would we not do that here? To protect the children, Ernie. Come on. But you see, every sheriff will tell you, we can't do that. We can't violate the rules of the Constitution, even if it's to help children. And so what would you think is more important? To help children, to make sure children are being protected, or to monitor the financial goings and comings of the American citizen? Which one has more of an impact on really helping the community? That one's easy. One is finances. The other one is the safety of children. You would think that they would really be pushing us to do those kind of audits that I'm talking about, random audits to protect children. We all know we can't do that. We don't do that. We can't do that. It's against the law, but yet the IRS does it every day. Why would any sheriff, especially with the history of the IRS that has fabricated, and this is all documented, by IRS agents, an IRS agency that is completely outside the law, that conducts random audits on citizens, which are entirely unconstitutional, that they have and did to my own father, fabricate evidence against people who they know cannot afford to defend themselves, so we know that they'll just pay the money. Why would any sheriff in this country allow any IRS agent unfettered access to the citizens in his county?
I cannot wait
for the day when a sheriff arrests an IRS agent for doing that sort of thing.
Okay, now this is a good point. This is the interface. You have IRS will come to a county, and they will do liens on your property and all kinds of stuff that aren't court-ordered. They're just made up. They're just a piece of paper, and the county recorder goes, oh, okay, yeah, whatever, puts it in. Now, that's starting a trend that's going the other way. And some counties in Florida and around the country, there are county recorders that are taking those liens off because they know they weren't legal. So the IRS, it's all filibustering. I mean, it's just all, you know, just
pretend.
But we
need to go much stronger than that. We need the sheriff just simply right now. The sheriffs that are constitutional, or any sheriff that's just simply concerned about what's going on, just have, how about 150 sheriffs in Texas signing on to this, and there's 254 sheriffs in Texas, and 150 of them are so concerned about the potential of gun control and the potential of abuse from the IRS that they just sign a document telling the federal government, CC it over to Congress and the Justice Department and the White House, saying these undersigned sheriffs will no longer put up with any more gun control from the federal government, and there will be no more random audits conducted by the IRS in these counties of our citizens.
If you try to
do either one, we will consider a criminal offense.
Okay, now this is where I wanted to get to when we come back, because the point that I was trying to get to is this. There is complicity that is required of the sheriff for the IRS to do these things. What happens when you say no, and how do they ask? Well, we'll find out when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Sheriff Richard Mack in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on RBN Network from Phoenix, Arizona, and then freedomsphoenix.com. Studios. Now, Sheriff Mack, the one thing that I want to make sure we get into this, you know, we can turn the audience into activists, not be a slacktivist, okay?
Hey, wait a minute. I got to endorse two things here. Again, that was Karen Johnson. She just called me. So anybody in Arizona who wants to go to the, it's at the Creekside Building at 1010 Brady in Sholo. It's right next to the Sholo City Hall. And so anybody wants to go to that tonight, I will be speaking there at 7 o'clock. And I've got to tell you, you have a sponsor on your program whose products I use all the time. And I got to say, Freeze-Dry Guy Foods are absolutely the best food storage I've ever seen. And I've been really close to food storage for a long time. Used to be a consultant for a food storage company back in the year 98, 99, 2000. But I use his products all the time, get them all the time, and I just have to tell you, they are fantastic. So anybody listening to the program and wondering about getting food storage, you definitely should have food storage, and you definitely should use www.freezedryguy.com.
Well, let me tell you the advantage of freeze-dried is that that's the only way that you can get protein. You know,
yeah, especially those meats. He has real meats, and it's really hard to find meats that are as good as tasting.
And I've tried it, and I've done pork chops and bacon and stuff, and you got to hydrate them. You put them in water, and they come up. You cook them, and I couldn't tell the difference. I'm going, really?
Yeah.
I was really surprised. And you have protein in your diet instead of just, you know, gruel.
So anyway, those that can do that should, and those that can make it to Sholo tonight should. So we'll see
great.
You there.
Sholo, and it's a beautiful place this time of year in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, we really enjoy it when we go up there. And Karen Johnson is from Springerville up in that area, northeastern Arizona. And she's gone kind of off grid. You know, she knows what's coming. You know, here's a state senator that goes, look, you know, I've done my best. I warned everybody what's coming. I did my part while I was there. Can I go and have my retirement and, you know, take care of my family? And she still is active. She's compelled to do that. And I'm glad you guys are going to spend some time together. But we want to take the people up there in Sholo and around Arizona and around the country, our audience, and make them activists. You know, I don't want everybody's talking about, oh, I know all, but they're slacktivists. They're not doing anything. So it's something simple that you can do and use your book. To go to your local sheriff and say, yo, what's up? You know, here, read this. And the thing is that, you know, I want to get back to where we have federal agencies, and probably the most common is the IRS. And the way I used to understand it used to work, I don't know if it still does now, but it used to be, whenever there was going to be a law enforcement action by a man with a gun from the federal government, you know, be the IRS or whoever, they would have to come to the sheriff and say, we're going to be doing this law enforcement action, and FYI, we're informing you, we're asking your permission, we're asking your cooperation. You know, what was the interface? What is it that they are required to do, that they do, that they don't have to anymore? Tell us about that relationship.
Well, no sheriff has to go along with any of that. I mean, just as I said previously, there are no auxiliary departments underneath the president who can tell your sheriff what to do. Not the FBI, not anybody. In fact, one of my favorite stories that happened while I was sheriff was Sheriff Marvin Hare from La Paz County, who got ticked off at the FBI for having some unannounced and without permission of the sheriff training exercises out in the desert in La Paz County. It was probably the smallest county in the state. And he got lots of calls because they're watching these helicopters drop men in masks and black suits out in the middle of the desert. And people are thinking we're under attack, or Mexico's attacking, or the UN's coming in, or whatever. People didn't know what it was, but it looked pretty ominous and scary. So a lot of 911 calls coming into the office, and they tied up all the 911 calls, and the dispatchers couldn't do their jobs properly because they're taking all these calls from concerned citizens. So Marvin Hare voiced his concern to the head of the FBI in the state of Arizona. He promised Marvin and everybody else that this would never happen again. Well, 3 months later, the FBI does it again, and I guess somebody didn't see the memo. And so Marvin Hare now is ready for he's loaded for bear. He is out for blood. He calls a special meeting of all the sheriffs. He's asking every one of us to meet in Phoenix. All of us did. I think there was only one sheriff not there, so 14 sheriffs are there, and the head of the FBI for Arizona. Marvin Hare rips that guy a new one for a half an hour. I mean, he yells, he belittles, he tells him he doesn't give a damn about his FBI boys' training. He says, if you ever, and he said this, I mean, he used every cuss word you've ever imagined in your life. And I was actually getting a little bit embarrassed and almost a little bit, you know, feeling sorry for this FBI guy, because he never says a word. He sits there and he takes the whole thing. A couple of times sheriffs go, come on, Marvin, don't hold back. Tell him how you really feel. You know, just kind of to break the ice, because it was getting pretty uncomfortable. And Sheriff Hare says, if you and your FBI boys ever come into my county and do that again, I'll arrest every one of you son of bitches. And I'm sorry I had to use that language, but that's exactly what he said. And do you want me to tell you what the head, this is the head special agent in charge for the state of Arizona, do you know what he told Marvin Hare?
I have no idea.
He said, I am sorry, and I know that I told you this before after the first time, and I am sorry that this happened again, but he says, I guarantee you, to each one of you sheriffs here, that this will never happen again. You've got my word, and all he did was apologize over and over and over and assure us this would never happen again. Well, if the federal government is above us, if they have jurisdiction above us, why didn't that FBI, again, special agent in charge for the state of Arizona, why didn't he just turn to all of us sheriffs and say, you guys can go suck an egg. I don't have to do anything you guys say. We want to cooperate and we want to work along with you, but we don't have to. We're the federal government. We are supreme. Haven't you read the Supremacy Clause? Well, actually, the Supremacy Clause issue is in my book because county attorneys will always tell their sheriffs, you have to do whatever the federal government says because of the Supremacy Clause. Well, that's baloney. And in my case, Mack versus United States, it addresses that issue and it says that the states and the local municipalities or local authorities share the supremacy and that the supremacy that the federal government has is very discrete and enumerated and small. And that's exactly what the Constitution intended. So if you read this book again, you're going to see that we cover every base. We got it all covered. And this is the issue. And Marvin Hare taught me a lesson that day. He was actually rude and out of line with some of his language, no question about it. But he was making a point, and he made the point. And then the special agent in charge also taught me something. You know what? I literally thought that he was going to try to exercise some of his big federal arrogance. He did not. He apologized. He was very humble. And he did exactly what the truth was.
Well, you know, but do they really take that to heart now? I mean, are they, you know, this guy in Arizona really read us riot act, so we got to, you know, we'll be good now.
No, nobody else knew this happened. It was just us 14 sheriffs. There was no press there. Nobody wrote a story about it. Nobody wrote a book about it. But this is the thing.
So the federal government's back in the box now. I don't have to worry about them. They're going to come ask sheriff's permission now.
Well, no. But if the sheriffs will stand firm on that, they will. This is a matter of the sheriffs just exercising their dadgum authority to make all federal agents do this. Why don't you check with the sheriff first? It's only proper. It's only going to help.
Is there a requirement that federal agents, when they come into your county, that they talk to the sheriff? Or has that kind of been a courtesy?
No, but it's been a gentleman's agreement. But and Helen Chenoweth tried to get it passed when she was in office. But, of course, the federal government fought it tooth and nail. But I have to say, what on earth would that hurt? What on earth is it going to hurt if sheriffs absolutely enforce the Constitution in their jurisdictions?
It's going to hurt Big Bubba government. That's what's going to hurt.
Oh, yeah. It's going to hurt their pride, and it's going to hurt what they do, and it's going to limit what they can do. But, hey, I got to take a three-minute break. I'll be right back.
All right, cool. You know, I appreciate Sheriff Matt coming on and spending this extra time with us because, you know, the thing that we need to understand is that if you're going to have any kind of a government, all right, that government has to be in the form that, you know, you have some kind of say in or it's not legitimate. You know, they come with these phrases like by, for, of the people, and is it really? And when it is, where does that interface, you know, really count? Is it by you going into a computer-controlled, government-mandated, regulated computer to represent your preference on something? Or is it when you have an actual interface with an agent of the government that is there to protect your individual rights? Because in Arizona State Constitution, it's very clear. We were one of the last states. We were, 48th state or something to go into the Union,
yep.
1912.
Yep.
And they had already had the experience of the rest of the country. When they came back, what has Article 2 It's our Declaration of Rights. And in there is like 30, 40, you know, individual rights in there. And the first one is like the supreme law is the Constitution. And about 32, it says, oh, and by the way, go see number one. Okay. And in there, and that's about what it says. And in there, it's very clear on what the proper role of government is. It says to defend individual rights, period. Where is that interface more than the guy with the gun and the badge that you hired to do that for you, the sheriff's department? Because if it's not there, then where is it?
Well, that's exactly what the book is about, and that is. And I think over time, sheriffs have forgotten, or the job has evolved into ticket writing and serving papers and running a jail. And sometimes they start thinking that that's what they're for, and that that's even more important than anything else they could do. But this is a wake-up call for everybody, Ernie. Our country is off track. Every facet of government is off track. Law enforcement is off track. Judges are off track. Legislators are off track. They have not seen or read or seen what the real purpose of government is, and the Declaration of Independence reiterates what you just said about the true and proper role of government. And right after you see in the Declaration of Independence where it says life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, then it says the real kicker, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. The only reason we need or have government in any way, shape, manner, or form is to secure life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or property. And that's what this is about. And until sheriffs connect with that, then the people of this country are not going to connect with freedom and liberty.
And what happens when they're not? The Declaration of Independence is very clear, too. When they don't do it, then what?
Yeah, when they don't, we have what we got going on today. And that is that government thinks that they are here to do anything and everything to us for our own good, of course, and of course to protect us from our own stupidity. And I'll even bring up that right now. Seatbelt laws. That is something I never enforced. I told my deputies not to enforce it. Oh yeah, we could stop people and say, you know what, you really ought to wear your seatbelt then. Yeah, you really ought to have a child restraint. But we never took people's property away from them because they weren't wearing their seatbelts and didn't have that. That's a personal choice. In America, you make your own choices. And that's what freedom is all about. When government's always making those choices for you and forcing you to do this and that, that's tyranny.
Well, what does this do? But the point that I want to get
the power back the other way.
The one thing I want to get back to, Sheriff, is that when you get to the point to where you see a government's not doing this, it's your right, your duty to what?
Abolish or alter or get rid of it entirely.
I vote, you know, how we got here, this collective federal thousands of miles away top-down thing is how we got here. We'll do something else. And certainly we can go back to the states. But the point is that there's a revolution already underway. I mean, we've known this. So tell me about your experience.
I just hope we keep it peaceful. I just want to keep it peaceful, and the sheriffs can do that. They can guarantee that it stays peaceful.
By just not cooperating.
Correct.
Now, defending. Well, there's going to be, you know, somebody, it's going to be a Buford Pusser kind of standing tall thing. You know, somebody's going to be, oh, heck no, and the guys are going to come in and, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to wait till the next election to get him out? Or are they going to try and find something on him and he's having an affair with a former senator's intern or something? I mean, you know, the thing is that you know that they, because your book is so timely, and because it demonstrates where some real power is that people have in their sheriff's department and their sheriff, that there is going to be a focus. There always was a focus. We knew this in the mid-90s. We watched it along with you. We watched it happen. We saw it happen. While the press is out there going their bubblehead kind of, oh, yeah, multi-jurist task force, oh, go get the bad guys and militia and terrorists and drugs and whatever the heck, we knew that wasn't why. We knew what was really going going on. They were taking away the defense that people have against Big Bubba government. They wanted to infiltrate themselves into local law enforcement, and they've got into the local city communities, and they do it with money. You could have a murder rape going on in the front of your apartment building or something. You screaming 9/11 for them to go, and they're kind of, we'll kind of get there. But if you say, Eddie's smoking a joint, boom, here they come. And the reason is, and they're bringing the helicopters, all this, it's because the federal government socially and economically engineers law enforcement because they get special little extra money if they have drugs involved. And they and it's all about playing the money game.
And, that's how that money game, heck, with the drug war, you can confiscate people's homes, bank accounts, cars, boats, anything else.
And get a cut.
And get a cut.
You know, that was one thing in Utah, wasn't it? Utah or Idaho, they had local law enforcement were planting drugs on people because they got a percentage of the confiscation.
Yeah, and anytime you have law enforcement playing that game, that they get a cut in the enforcement of what they do and the enforcement of the law, that is entirely illegal, unconstitutional, and highly immoral and improper. But yet, why are they doing it still?
Because they can.
It brings in the money. Because they can, and it brings in money. And there's not one sheriff in this country that shouldn't be putting an end to that.
You know, the one thing that I really appreciate is the fact that not only that you're bringing this up and you write the book and you're willing to tour on it and you're making this a part of your life now, but the fact that you come from such a position of a man of faith, a man of experience, a man that's been an undercover agent in the drug war, a sheriff. You know, you're near the border. You understand immigration issues. And you speak Spanish, too, don't you?
Sí, hablo español.
And, you know, so this gives you an enormous advantage on being able to communicate what's going on here. And the people have an opportunity. And with the way things are, I would say an obligation not to be a selectivist. You know, get his book, get it to the sheriff in your community. And I'm telling you, I don't care if he's got a stack on his desk already. You write in the cover and you add it on top there because you need to. That's the least you can do. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and Sheriff Richard Mack.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It's me, Ernest Hancock, with Sheriff Richard Mack. And, you know, there's your life has been, since I've known you, past 15 years, you're always in trouble, man.
Yeah.
You're up against the man. They are putting pressure on you all the time. And how do you hold up against that for this many years? I mean, you have to have a family that's supportive of what you do.
Yeah, well, you've met my wife before.
Oh, yeah, beautiful woman.
And she is. She's a pretty girl, and she was raised in a John Birch home, and so that was kind of a godsend for me when all this happened. I wasn't raised in a constitutional home. My dad was a good man, but he was an FBI agent, and he was a company man. You know, we weren't taught the fundamentals of freedom in the home and stuff. We were just kind of a go-along family, and so really when I met my wife is when my education started. Because her parents were always talking about these things, and they put the Constitution in front of me, and while I was a police officer, they put the Constitution in front of me, and I studied it, and then I started studying Cleon Skousen's works, and I really loved Cleon Skousen, and he was a mentor and a teacher of mine, and so finally, step by step, and kind of a line of a building block approach, line upon line, I was ready to face the Brady Bill when it came, and I recognized it for what it was. It was tyrannical, and quite honestly, Ernie, of all the stuff that you've mentioned that was coming at the sheriffs and at the sheriff's offices, and my office in particular, and getting requests from all the these other agencies to cross-deputize them and all this other crap and all their meddling and the contract I had with the Federal Bureau of Prisons and all the red tape from the federal government. When the Brady Bill came out, it was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. No way am I going to support this. There is no way that I can participate in any gun control scheme. And that's what Scalia calls it in the decision. He calls it a federal gun control scheme. And that's all this was. It was a big scheme, and there was no way I could go along. And the two people on this earth, I talked to one other person, but he's not on this earth. I prayed about this, but there was two people who made this decision. There was no political action committee. I did not form a focus group or anything else like that. Is this going to help me with my career? Can I run for Congress if I do this? Is it going to make me a name? Blah, blah, blah. No, there was none of that. I came back from that sheriff's meeting when the BATF gave us our marching orders, and I talked to my wife, and I said, you know what? I have to sue my own government to stop this or quit my job. And I said, I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to cost us our career and our job and probably our home. And it did. And what I'll tell everybody on that is right now and back then, I don't give a damn. We cannot allow the fear of losing our jobs to get in the way of standing against the federal government.
I am very appreciative of you taking this path in your life. And your children grew up knowing that their father was a hero.
They grew up with this.
And
this whole thing.
And it's I always used to say, it's not me you have to worry about. It's my children. You know, you have any idea the example that they have set by the stuff that they're doing? They didn't read about it. They lived it, as did yours. Sheriff Mack, it was a great show. I really look forward to putting this up. We'll have the archive up later today. I'll get you the link, send it out, and please say hello to Karen Johnson for me, would you please?
Sure will.
You know, thanks for spending time with us. And you out there, you, declare your independence. Get Sheriff Mack's book. You can find it on Amazon and share the word.